This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:36 in the evening and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. So we're going to return to messages shortly after this. But now, just for a change of pace, we wanted to tell you really about something else. And it was something that when I first heard about, I thought was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And it is this notion of trying to create safer public spaces and doing so through the use of technology. Because we've been talking about this in general quite a lot, right? And about how safety is a personal responsibility, but it's made a lot easier when everybody gets on board. It's made a lot easier when infrastructure is better. It's made a lot easier when there's no corruption. And it's also made easier, I think, when you can crowdsource it, which is where some apps are now starting to enter the space, right? Where you actually have people kind of coming together to actually indicate where there might be safer spaces within cities.
Yeah, and I think right now, because sort of communal information, community-based information is very much ad hoc. If you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. Similar in ways where, oh, this place is a tourist trap, don't go, and you won't figure that out until someone actually tells you or someone happens to leave a review on TripAdvisor. But on things about safety, on things about well-being, say, in a certain city, on a particular street, that's sometimes not as well-known, especially if you consider the fact that not only for tourists, but if you happen to be someone moving from rural to then urban areas, you might not have that knowledge, and then you walk the city late at night alone. Of course, personal responsibility and safety is important, but also just sort of knowing to be more aware of where you are and how you should, I guess, more or less behave in certain spaces, perhaps not holding out your bag and catching it just a bit closer on certain roads.
So we wanted to talk to somebody who's actually engaged in doing this, who's actually engaged in solutions designed to make safer cities. So Dr. Kalpana Viswanath is joining us on the line. She is the co-founder and CEO of SafetyPin, which is a community that's using tech to map out public spaces. Dr. Kalpana, thank you so much for joining us this evening. So I guess, first of all, can you talk to us about what SafetyPin is and how it works?
So SafetyPin is a sort of a technology platform where we have a couple of apps. And the mission of SafetyPin is really to help women and to build a city where everyone can move around without fear, especially women. So what we have is a set of apps through which we collect data about public spaces. And the data is about two broad areas. One is the physical infrastructure. So we look at lighting and the street and the walk path, etc. But we also look at what we call social infrastructure or social usage of the public space. We look at who occupies the public space. What kind of people are there? What kind of activity is there in the public space? So are there shops and restaurants and food carts, etc., which make the place active. And what we do is we collect this data through two methods. One is a crowdsourced app called My SafetyPin. It's a free app and anyone can download it and use it. And we also collect images of the city, which our team analyzes. And through this data, two methods of data collection, we produce maps of the city, which can be used both by individuals on the app as well as by city governments to help them make decisions about how to improve safety in public spaces.
And what drove you to develop this technology?
So my background is actually, I have been working in the area of safer cities for many years now, both with NGOs in India, with the UN and several other international organizations. In 2013, I set up SafetyPin because I felt that the tool of the safety audit as a methodology of auditing and assessing public spaces, while it was being used a lot as a paper and pen tool, by making it into a technology solution, into an app, we could do two things which to me were significant. One, was to make it available to everybody who has a smartphone. And therefore, you know, so if, you know, if you come to India, you can open the app and see the safety data in the city that you're visiting. If I visit Malaysia, I know in Kuala Lumpur, we certainly have some data because we did a project there a few years ago. So like that, it sort of becomes available for all people to use and enhance the data. The second thing is why we did it into an app and technology is that way we're able to cover a much larger area of the city and give more precise, accurate data for city governments to act upon. Because if you give very general data, governments don't know what to do with it. So we are able to give precise sort of GIS located problems in the city, which the city is able to then use to make things better. So the idea was really to reach many more people through this.
So you're collecting data in India, as well as about 15 cities around the world. Can you tell us more about that info that you've collected and what some of the findings were?
So we have, so we're 6 years old now, and we began working in Delhi. And we have now been collected data in about 20 cities in India and another around 15 cities outside India. And we have had active projects in several cities in India, including Delhi, in Calcutta, in Pune, Mumbai, Bangalore, but also outside India in Hanoi, in Manila, in Papua New Guinea, in Kenya, in South Africa, in Bogota. So we've sort of spread across, working in several developing countries.
Is the concept of creating safer spaces for women something that you've seen most people get on board with? We've seen more often than not that the conversation veers towards expecting women to equip or protect themselves better.
Absolutely. You see, the thing is, when we began this work, when I began working in this area, I think my main goal was to say that women's safety is not a women's issue. And I think you're absolutely right. That's what we're struggling with even today in terms of what is women's safety? You know, who should be responsible for women's safety? Should it be women only? Like, should we be deciding where we go out, where we don't go? So I think that, you know, it's all this obvious thing that, oh, you know, women should not go out at night, or they should dress properly, or they should go out with somebody. And I think the discourse of the Safe Cities movement and what Safety Pin is trying to do is that, you know, that this is a fundamental right. This is a human right. It's a constitutional right of every person in the city to have an equal access to everything. And therefore, it is the job and it is the duty of all stakeholders. It could be companies, it could be universities, it could be governments, whoever, transport departments, the metro. So, you know, to really place the burden on institutions in our society to say, this is a problem of the city. It's not a problem of women. You know, for example, if, you know, something as simple, we try and explain that if women don't feel safe moving out, they will drop off from the workforce. If women drop out from the workforce, there is a GDP implication for countries on this, you know, so.
So can you then, I guess, talk to us about the metrics or parameters that you use to measure public safety?
So we use something called a safety audit, which has got a set of 9 parameters, including public infrastructure like lighting, openness, how good the walk path is, how good public transport is. And then we look at who's on the streets. So we look at whether there are people, whether there are women, whether there are police, whether there's activity on the streets, natural surveillance. So we do a combination of these two factors. And then we also ask women how they feel in public spaces. So we get a kind of a variable which talks about feeling, the perception of safety. And so because this is a crowdsourced app and free, anybody can actually download it and do an audit themselves.
And how do other stakeholders utilize this information? For the government, for example, how do you present this information to them?
So what we do is we, of course, produce reports. We give recommendations. But we also produce, we give sort of software solutions. So we integrate it into GIS layers so that we give it to the government as, you know, this is on a map, these are all the places where the lighting is poor, all right? And so they can then overlay it on their GIS maps and then see what they want to do and how to improve things. So we are also trying to, you know, give it in ways that can be used by people. So even for NGOs, we give it as an advocacy sort of document. So we give it with very clear recommendations, with maps, which they can then go to their local stakeholders and ask for change. So we do a range of things. We do a lot of visual presentation using maps and charts, and as well as kind of doing it online so that, you know, the technology is up to date and it can be integrated into government systems.
So have you actually been able, I suppose, to really measure how much of an impact this data has had on improving public safety?
Yes, we have a little bit. So, for example, in Bogota, where we work to improve the bike tracks, the government did do some sort of survey and interviews and found that women were finding it more safe to use bicycles at night. In Delhi, we have looked at looking at how to improve the access to public transport. So around the metro stations, we've tried to improve the get the governments rather to improve both last mile connectivity, lighting, and infrastructure. And you know, we've done some interviews with women in those areas and found that they are, you know, finding the changes positive. So I think, and also in Delhi, because there's so much emphasis on the issue, even the newspapers carry a lot of stories and stuff like that. So we have, we are beginning to see impact, okay? I mean, I won't say that we can claim very great impact yet, but I think we're beginning to see the changes happening.
And what's it like working with different governments that would have different approaches, not to mention varying levels of political will and resources?
I think that's the most difficult part of it. So I think, you know, with governments, the thing is, like, one of the problems is governments change also very often, right? And so you work, you take all the effort and you work with one government, and then that either the officer gets replaced or there's an election and the government gets changed. So it's also rebuilding relationships. It's also very time-consuming working with governments because you have to put it into their priorities. It has to fit within their priorities. So I think it is the most difficult part of the work that we do, but I think it's the most meaningful because if you can get governments to use the data, then the kind of change and impact that you can have is most significant. So therefore, you know, I think for me, for SafetyPin, it is an endeavor we will continue doing. And, you know, with success in some cases, not that much success sometimes, and I think that is just part of the game.
Absolutely. Dr. Kalpana, thank you so much for speaking to us today. You just heard from Dr. Kalpana Viswanath, who is the co-founder and CEO of SafetyPin, which is a company that's using technology to make cities safer for all, especially women. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share, if you would use SafetyPin, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.